The title of the sermon today is, What Do You Live For? And in John chapter 12 and 27, Jesus knew his purpose. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about exposing lies. In Romans 1, it says they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Well, we want to know the truth. And so we talked about if you remove God out of the equation, you can't answer the four great questions of life. And so where we came from, why we're here, who we are we, and where we're going, you need God in the equation to answer those questions. Well, Jesus came to this earth, and he knew exactly why he came to this earth. In John 12, he said, for this reason I came, for this purpose. And you have to have a cause for your life. If you're not living for something beyond yourself, you will never have a happy, fulfilled life. As long as your eyes are on you, you cannot be happy because God didn't create you to live with your eyes on you. Amen? Matthew 16, it says, as we come and live for the cause of Christ, he said, whoever comes to me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself and let him follow me. Whoever would lose his life for my sake in the gospel, then you find it. Who wants to live a fulfilled, satisfied, just an amazing, great life? Well, Jesus, I think, lived a pretty fulfilled and satisfied life, even with all the difficulties that he faced. But he knew why he was down here. He knew his purpose. He knew his cause, and he didn't let anything distract him from that. And it says the exact same thing in John chapter 18, verse 37. Jesus said, for this reason I was born. Okay, do you know why you're born? Do you know why you're here? Do you know your purpose? You want to live a purpose-driven life. Without it, you will not be fulfilled. You will not be satisfied. So today, and I know I share along these lines, but I want to be able to fulfill what God has put me here to do. In John 17, verse 4, Jesus said, I brought you glory on the earth. And Jesus said, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Don't you want to be able to finish the work that God has given to you? And God has given everyone gifts. We're going to look at probably Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, where everybody has a gift. When you come together, everybody, it says, each one of you has a psalm, a tongue, a teaching, a revelation, a gift, a calling, a purpose. When you come together, in Ephesians 4, when it says each part does its part, then the body can be complete, it can be healthy, and it can be whole. So Jesus brought glory to the Father by knowing why he was here and doing the work that God had called him to do. Jesus said at the very end of his life, I finished the work that you gave me to do. So we have a purpose in life. We all have gifts and we all have talents. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter. Let's not do that one. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. It's the parable of the talents. And we're going to just start with a conclusion of the story. But in verse 20, the master returned, and he was going to settle accounts with the people. And the first one was given five talents, or five bags of gold. And he said, see, master, I have five more. So he took what God gave him, and he allowed God to multiply it. You know the story about the little boy with what? Help me out with the story. The two loaves and the fishes, right? What you do is whatever talent you have, you give it to God, you make yourself available to God, and he'll multiply it. In Genesis chapter 1, for the creation of man, he said to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue the earth. So the little boy with two loaves of bread and fish, whatever the amount was, but Jesus took it, multiplied it, and fed the multitudes. And God wants you to use your life to feed the multitudes as well. So you have a purpose. You have gifts and you have talents, and God wants you to use them for the Lord. July 31st, you'll hear me say that date all the time, 1974, is the day that I got saved. I was born again. I surrendered my life to the Lordship of Jesus. The same night, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, a new language that I'd never spoke before. God is good, amen. As a teenager, even though you know my religious background, I went to religion class every single week. It was a part of our parochial schooling. And I had a strong interest in the Lord just my whole entire life. But as a teenager, I started even to feel a call of the Lord. Now, they tried to recruit me to be a priest, and I thought ladies were way too good a looking to think about being a priest. Amen? Sorry, my dad actually went to seminary. That's another whole story, whatever. But then I think he saw mom, and that changed that. So But even as a teenager, I felt the call of God on my life. Ephesians 1, verse 18, verse 17 says, Lord, my dad taught us to pray scripture even as teenagers. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you, and that I would know the hope of my calling. And I felt a call of God even into ministry all through my teenage years. Didn't know what that meant. You know, they tried to recruit me even to, you know, in parochial school to be a priest. But I knew I wanted, even, and I didn't understand it, I wanted to do ministry. My dad, when he got, he was 39 years old, but when he got saved, he went all in. And so there was ministry taking place in our house all the time. People would walk into our house, you know, it was like a revolving door, and just walk in, and everybody, they'd go downstairs, because mom was always busy upstairs. We had a nice finished basement, whatever, and there people would get saved, healed, delivered, baptized, and the Holy Spirit called, whatever. It was just amazing. The ministry was always taking place. So even as a teenager, I knew that I had a calling of God in my life, and you know what? God has a calling of God in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says you're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give an account for your life. You're going to give an account for the gifts and talents that God gave you. Let's just say that I only got one. I'm going to be held accountable for that one talent and that one gift that I gave, whether it's one, two, five, whatever it is. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of the Lord. You want that day to be a good day. You want to be able to lay crowns at the feet of Jesus. And there's a work for us to do. And there's a work for us to complete. And there's a work for us to finish. And you want that day to go well. We're going to give an account of our lives. So back to Matthew chapter 25. The master said in verse 21, well done, you good and faithful servant. Just make yourself available to God. That's all you have to do. You say, you know, like everybody in the Bible, Gideon says, I'm nothing. Moses said, I'm nothing. Pretty much everybody was nothing, but that doesn't matter to God. You and God is a majority. God in you is your hope of glory. Amen? So just make yourself say, God, I'm available. I want to be used. Let you make my life an instrument. Amen? To be used for your glory and your honor. All right. So you were faithful with small, I'm going to put you in charge of a lot. The man with the two bags of gold, the two talents, came to him and says, Master, you gave me two bags of gold. See, I gained two more. So what he did, just like the little boy with the loaves and fishes, he gave it to God, and God takes it and multiplies it. Whatever gift and calling you have, just use it for God. You know, and you might not even think it's that spiritual. But there was a man that changed my life, and his gift, you know what, was making money. He was in Jamaica, he was in big construction, did very, very well in life, and so he was not only able to provide, I stayed at his house for 3 months, I went on a missions trip for 3 months, and he had it was a huge house, you know, because he had guests there all the time. I had one half of one part of the up, whatever. But he made money, and one of his giftings and talents was just to be good at business. He did construction, and he made money, and you know what he did? He took that money and helped build 12 churches. So I got to go live with him for 3 months. He said, guess what? You can go and preach any of my churches anytime you want. You know what his gift was? Just being good at life, being good in business. And he used that money for the glory and the purpose and the honor of God. And guess what? I went with 90 other students on my first trip. I went there for a month, and you know, a whole bunch of people stayed at his house for that trip as well when you got all these students down in that area. But whatever gift you have, just give it to God and say, God, use it some way, somehow, for your purpose and your honor and your glory. And you know what? You've got a calling. Say, God, reveal to me that calling. My dad's calling was to be a civil engineer. He was studying, and he didn't even have any idea what a civil engineer was, but they had a guest speaker at their school that day, and he said, some of you here are going to be civil engineers. Dad didn't know what it was, but a light bulb went on inside of him, and he said, that's you. You're going to be a civil engineer someday. So from there, wherever he was at school, went on to Platteville, studied civil engineering, went on to become a civil engineer, city engineer, director of public works, and a light bulb went off. He knew he had a calling. He was amazing at math. He was really, really good with people. That's why he became the director of public works. But he had a gift and a calling. So figure out what that calling is, and then use that gift and calling, whatever it is, for the glory and the honor of God. The most important thing in your life is to discover the most important thing. Most people live their life, and at the very end of their life, they realize that they've been climbing the ladder of life and success, and they had their ladder up against the wrong building. They lived for their own purposes. You know what? All of that will burn up and die. I want to lay gold, silver, and precious stones at the feet of Jesus. I want to use whatever gift. And you know what? A lot of life in your gift is just being available. A couple weeks ago, we have two kids that come to our Wednesday night program, and their stepdad got electrocuted while he was working in Oregon. He died. And so, Elward, you know Elward, he's got a gift, and actually you all have that gift because you're all supposed to bring the good news of the gospel to Jesus to people. And just Elward said last Sunday, I think it was just last Sunday in church, would you be willing to go with me? Was it last Sunday? You probably asked me. I don't know if you asked me before that. But would you be willing to go out to this home, and let's just talk about this to this mom who just lost her husband. They just got married this year. They also had a child this year, and just husband just got electrocuted and died. You think, well, what's my gift and calling? You know what it is? Just love people. You know what? You know, people come to me all the time. What is my gift? I said, you know what you do? Just whatever your hand finds to do, just do it. Amen? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Well, we went that Sunday afternoon, and we got to share, and actually this person is not very, very open to the Lord. Their kids have come to our program for a long, long time, but the adult was not really open. But you know what? When you're in a person is in a time of need, they are really, really, really open. And if you just go and listen and love and just do everything you can, guess what? Your life can be transformed. We're going to go back, Elward. The daughter came to me Wednesday night. She ran up to me. The first thing that she did when she got here on Wednesday night was said, my mom really, really, really enjoyed. She didn't have that many reallys. I threw those in there. All right. Enjoyed your visit. And said, we'd love for you to come again. What's your gift and your talent? Just love people. You know what? This world is full of hurting people. This world is full of needy people. And they just want somebody to be available. You know, I ended up having to go. I had the privilege of going to Milwaukee for a very, very difficult day for somebody. And just to be a part of their life that day. And I wanted to make it back to Appleton to visit somebody in the hospital that night. I didn't make it. I will make it there this week. But, you know, it was really cool. I didn't have to be there. Somebody else was there. And the person went Friday night. The person went there yesterday. And I knew that they had a cell phone. So I just called. And I was able to talk to Ron Hahn. He is in Appleton. Most likely on Monday or Tuesday, he's going to get a pacemaker. But you know what? That person's going to end up again today. And I'll call again today. I won't be able to visit Ron today. But I'll be up there this week. And you know what? You can just be a God with skin on. Amen. I shared this story during Sunday school this morning. Rick Warren, and you may not agree with 100% of his theology, we'll just get over it, all right? His son committed suicide. Here's a pastor of a humongous church in California. Son commits suicide, and he's going to take 4 months off of ministry from pastoring a church. The church was large. While he was gone, he could have had some insecurities about this one. The church grew by 4,000 people a Sunday morning, and the pastor wasn't even there. You know how they did it? I'm going to share the same stories I shared in Sunday school. They did it with small groups. Everybody being a part. Everybody having a ministry. Everybody being connected. And the church grew by 4,000 people every Sunday morning without the pastor even being around. Why? Because they had connect groups where people were connected, people were being cared for, people were being loved, people were using their gift of hospitality and prayer and fellowship and teaching, and the church grew and it multiplied. And that's what, you know, we have life groups today. I'll do an announcement at the end, but we want everybody to be a part of a connect group. We had one Thursday night. Steve and Jenny, thank you, open for your home this afternoon. There'll be one at church this afternoon. There'll be one at Brad and Lily's. There'll be one at Steve and Audrey's. We have actually ones that go on during the week. We're going to have people connected and where everybody gets a chance to serve. Let me just, as long as I was talking about Rick, the same story I shared in Sunday school. With the church being 22,000, at least it is now, on a Sunday morning, you can't visit everybody in the hospital. But one person was a charter member, and he said, you know what, I'm going to go visit this person. Sorry for those that have already heard this story this morning. He got there, and he said, I want to visit so-and-so. And the nurse says, I'm sorry, you can't visit him. Well, I'm his pastor. Well, I don't care. There's already been seven pastors here today, and that's enough. Come on, you guys. Well, I'm the head pastor. I'm the pastor of the whole, you know, all 22,000. I don't care who you are. There's already been seven pastors here, and he needs some rest. As soon as she ducked around the corner, he snuck in the room and had a good visit. But isn't that amazing? See, she asked him then, how many pastors does this church have? Well, they have 90 small groups. So he says, well, I guess we have 90 lay leaders, and we call them pastors because they're pastors of their small group. Everybody has a gift and a calling. So I guess we have about 80 to 90. Isn't that cool? Yeah, obviously he had a privilege to go and visit that people, but when you have 22,000, you can't go and visit everybody. Amber's covering for us Friday, Saturday, and today. You know what? But let's find an opportunity to look beyond ourselves, lose our life for his sake and the gospel, and then we're going to find it. Amen? So we have a vocation. We have a calling from God. Let's discover those, and let's make a difference. Basically, our purpose in life is just to add value to people's lives. You know, I had plans for Friday night. We're going to go out to eat that night, and I got a call and said, really, really need you. Wondering if you could just go to Milwaukee and be a part of something that really needs to take place today. You know, my wife, she's so good. She says, yes, we can take a rain check. Thank you guys for taking a rain check. We'll get together with them another time. I needed to be where I needed to be Friday afternoon and all that time in a very difficult situation. 1 Peter 4:10 says, use your gifts and serve one another. So find out what you're good at. Eric Lytle, you know his story, what is it, that Chariots of Fire, the movie? You guys watch that movie? God gave him a gift to run. And I think he win Olympic medals, didn't he? Come on, you guys. You know, and then what God wants you to do is use your gift and talent and use it as a platform for the Lord. And they had the Olympics, and they were going to run on Sunday, and he didn't run. So he would have won probably more Olympic medals. But he said, no, I can't run on Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Isn't that pretty cool? But he used his talent. He says, you know what? When I run, let me see, I feel God's pleasure. I want to make God smile. I just want to use my talents and gifts for the Lord. You know, sometimes you just use a talent and lead some of the Lord. You've heard this story about Billy Graham, haven't you? Just one little guy, a little guy, in a Sunday school class led somebody to the Lord, who that person led somebody else to the Lord. That person led somebody else to the Lord and eventually caused Billy Graham to get saved. And you know what? It all went back to one guy that was willing to teach Sunday school class. Made a difference, amen? Find whatever gift and talent you have and use it for the Lord. Let's talk about calling just for a couple minutes. In Isaiah chapter 6, the angels of the Lord, you know, appear to Isaiah. You know, and he sees the glory of the Lord, the seraphim, he's singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The glory of the Lord fills the temple. And his response to the presence of God was, here am I, send me. I live among a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. But Lord, touch me, cleanse my lips, use me. Here I am. I make myself available for your glory and your honor. Use me for your glory. Amen. Paul was responsible for the killing of thousands or just many, many Christians. He's on his way to Damascus. He gets struck down, whatever, has a vision. He's told to go in the city, and he'll be told what to do. Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. What is it? Ananias came for him, prayed for him. He gets his sight back. He gets a call of God, and he began to preach in the synagogue immediately and telling people that Jesus is the Son of God. God can take our lives and use it for his purposes. A lot of times we say we're not worthy. How could God use me? All you have to do is be available. Moses said, I stutter. Moses said, what am I going to do? You know, can you use my brother Aaron, wasn't it? Did I get the story right? You know, let him speak. He's a better speaker than I. And you know, God says, I will be with you. I'm going to use you, and you're going to bring all of the Israelites out of bondage, out of Egypt, and you're going to lead them to the promised land. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham gets a call. He says, I want you to leave Ur of Chaldea, and I want you to go to place. And he didn't even know where he was going to go, but he just said, I want you to leave, and I want you to go, and I'm going to show you. And guess what? You just start you being used by the Lord. God will show you where to go, and he will show you what to do. And just say, I'm going to be available. Wasn't it Peter and Andrew? He said to him, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Amen? We got people that are going to get saved, and we're going to lead them to the Lord. So he's calling you to use your gifts and talents to serve him. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Master replied to the one with the two. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in the master's happiness. But then the man who had received the one bag of gold or the one talent said, I knew that you were a hard man. So he had a wrong understanding of God. A lot of people think that they have a wrong concept of God. Even somebody that I shared with this last week, I don't want anything to do with God. I'm mad at God. I'm angry with God. I had a four-year-old stepson that died of cancer, and God caused that. God took him home, and God did that. And they were mad at God. Well, this person had a wrong concept of God and said, God, I knew you'd be a hard man, or master, and the master was not a hard man. Harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Well, that was a lie as well. So I was afraid. You've got a talent, and if you're afraid and you don't use your talent, what did he say to him in verse 26? His master replied to him, you wicked, lazy servant. What did he, last part of that is not in here, but didn't he cast him into the outer darkness where there was going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth because he didn't use his talent and giftings for the Lord? Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's use our talents for the Lord. Maybe you can pray. Some people have a great ministry of prayer. Maybe you can teach. Last Sunday morning, Deb Versagen had 24 kids that began practice for the Christmas program. You know what? She might need a little help between now and Christmas to handle 24 kids. Amen? Once in a while on a Wednesday night, and maybe I'm bragging on Elward again. Doug, you do the same thing. But even in this summer at Vacation Bible School, one of the kids that came wasn't used to being alone and separated from his family, and he just needed somebody to be with him the whole night, and that was Elward that night, just to love on that little kid. And you know what? Every kid Wednesday when that kid comes now, he's over all that. He's ready just to come and have a blast, but he needed somebody just to love on him. Sometimes we got to have another adult just be one-on-one because the kids are so misbehaved so bad that they have to have just one-on-one. And guess what? If that is one person is you, that person could change that person for the rest of their life. Amen? Use your gift. Two loaves, some fish, just give them to God and he'll multiply it. How about mentor? How about host? When we have all these life groups, we're going to need people just to have them in their home. In 1 Corinthians, it says, when you come together, everybody has something to offer. Write this verse down. You can look up it up later. Queen Esther, I think it was that. Who was it that said it to her? Was it Mordecai that used these phrases? Who knows that you were born for such a time as this? But if you remain silent, relief and deliverance will come from the Jews, and it will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. If you're silent and don't use your gift to lead people to the Lord, you know what? Here it said, your family will perish. People won't come to know the Lord unless you are part of leading them to know the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 11, it gave the fivefold ministry. The pastor is a part of that. And my job is not just to do the ministry. I love doing ministry. I'll never problem having finding enough ministry to do around any church. In verse 12, it said, my job is to equip you to do the works of service. My job is to stir up the giftings and calling of God within you so you can do service. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body joined together by what? Every supporting ligament. What part are you? When you stand before the Lord, is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Take your life and make it useful for the kingdom of God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read a story here. I'd rather use a chainsaw than an axe, but this is a story from a while back. Once upon a time, there was a very strong woodcutter, and he asked for a job with a timber or a lumber company. Well, timber merchant, and he got it. The pay was very good, and so were the work conditions. For that reason, the woodcutter was determined to do his very best. His boss gave him an axe and showed him an area of the forest where he was to work. The first day, the woodcutter cut down 18 trees, so these must have been big. His boss was extremely impressed and said, well done, keep it up. You are the best word cutter yet. Motivated by his boss's words, the woodcutter tried even harder the next day, but he's only able to do 15 trees. The third day, he worked even hard. He didn't take breaks, didn't take lunch, didn't do anything, but he's able to only cut down 10 trees. Day after day, he cut down fewer and fewer trees. Finally, the boss came, told him he did not chop down more trees, he had going to lose his job. The woodcutter needed a job, so he tried harder and harder. He worked during his lunch breaks, tea breaks, nothing. But he could never cut down enough trees. I must be losing my strength, the woodcutter said to himself. He worked overtime, but still it was not enough. Eventually, his boss came to him and told him he was fired. The woodcutter was really upset, but he knew that he had worked as hard as he could and just didn't have enough time to chop down more trees. He sadly handed his axe back to the owner. The boss took one look at his axe, and what do you think he said? When was the last time you sharpened your axe? Sharpen my axe, the woodcutter said. I have never sharpened my axe. I'm too busy trying to cut down trees. Well, we should be busy doing the work of the Lord, but you know what? How about if we know the Lord of the work, and he'll bless the works of our hands and cause whatever we do to prosper, amen? So actually, our ministry is an outflow of our relationship with God. So God wants us to sharpen our axe in our relationship with him each and every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're getting closer to wrapping this up. A couple more people that have got a call of God. Ephesians 4 says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have. Here's a calling, and this is for a country. Israel had a calling. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, he said to Israel, I'll make you a light to the nations. Well, they're not walking in that calling very right now, but guess what? Our founding fathers, even though that they knew that this covenant was made with Israel, our founding fathers took this as a covenant for America. And they said, you know what? Let's believe that we are going to be a light to the nations. Our founding fathers took this Bible verse as a calling to send out missionaries that the whole entire known world would hear about Jesus and hear the gospel. I will make you a light to the nations. America, when the world is in need, what does America do? They come to people's rescue. Well, also, they bring the gospel. They took one verse out of the Bible and believed that they had a calling to bring the gospel, the good news, the Bible, the message of Jesus Christ to the whole entire known world. Romans 1:1, Paul said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Find out what you can do. Every Wednesday, Edna feeds about 45 people. And you know what? There's a little work that takes to feed 45 people. All you have to do is just show up and say, hey, what can I do? If you want to know, just ask Deb Versagan, what can I do? Anyway, we can find something to do. Just make yourself available. You know, I'm a little bit selfish in part of my service, and let me tell you why. It's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. Write this verse down. The verse says, whatever good thing you do for somebody else, God will do for you. So I like you guys, and I know I have a call for ministry, but I hate to tell you, I'm a little bit selfish. I like a reward. The Bible actually says if I give, it's going to be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it's going to be given back to me. Ephesians chapter 6 says, whatever good thing I do for somebody else, God will do for me. That's a pretty good reward, amen? Because God can reward me a whole lot better than I can do for anybody else. But whatever good thing, whatever talent, whatever gift, whatever I have, if I give that to somebody else, God said he'll take care of me. Amen? Service is an overflow. This is back to the story with the axe of our ministry and our relationship with Jesus. So just find opportunities to serve people. A lot of it is just find opportunities to listen, people. Find opportunities to pray. You'll see that in your small groups this afternoon. If you don't have a small group and you want to be a part of it, make sure you talk to me. Last page, you like that? Just say amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are God's workmanship. And what does that mean? You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Faith without works is dead. You know, what did God say? Was it Moses, wasn't he? He said, what is that in your hand? Just, you know, God's going to say to you, take your hand, take your life, make it available to God, and I'll use it for my purpose, my honor, and my glory. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. How are people going to get to know the Lord? You're going to be salt and you're going to be light. But then what does it say? That they may see your good works and glorify God. You have got a work to do. You're going to stand before the Lord. You're going to give an account for your life. And I want him to say for every one of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the rest of the Lord. The body, it grows, becomes healthy as it builds itself in love as each part does its part. Ephesians 4:16. Paul, at the end of his life, said, I fought the fight, I kept the faith, I finished my course. I want you to finish your course. I want you to use your talents and your giftings for the Lord. Don't waste your life. Make a difference. Make your life count. Do something great. Add value to people's life. Finish the work that God has given to you to go do. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Father, I pray that you would stir up the gifts and callings of God. Father, I've been at camp. When I was up north, I went to a summer camp 20 years in a row. And a lot of times at that camp, kids would receive a call to the ministry. Father, it doesn't have to be some big light bulb. Doesn't have to be some big revelation. Just be like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Lord, I make myself available. Thank you, Lord. Father, even last Sunday at church, Elward says, would you make yourself available, Pastor, that we could just go and visit the family. Make yourself available. Say, God, use me. Take my life for your glory and your honor. We want to be like you, Jesus. We finish the fight. We finish the course. And Father, I thank you, Lord, we can lay our crowns at your feet. Thank you, Lord. Jenny, would you have just something that you want to play? You're going to play? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait upon the Lord just for a few more minutes before we close the service. Lord, we have gifts, we have talents, and Lord, speak to us, Lord, of how we can use those gifts and talents for your glory and your honor. Thank you, Lord.